This is an audio archive edition of WINA's Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot, made available online by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network, cvillepodcast.com.
In January 1811, 500 slaves dressed in military uniforms and armed with guns, cane knives, and axes rose up from the plantations around New Orleans and set out to conquer the city. They were ethnically diverse, politically astute, and very highly organized. This self-made army challenged not only the economic system of plantation agriculture, but also American expansion. Their march represented the largest act of armed resistance against slavery by enslaved people of color in the history of the United States of America. The new book is American Uprising, The Untold Story of America's Largest Slave Revolt. It's an honor to welcome to the program author Daniel Rasmussen. Daniel, thank you for being with us. I appreciate it.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's great to be here.
Absolutely. So this is my understanding that you're a relatively recent graduate of Harvard University, and this book came out of work you were doing as an undergraduate. Is that right?
That's absolutely right. I graduated from Harvard in 2009. This was originally my junior paper and then senior thesis.
Where did you first hear about it? Because it and this is part of your story. This action, what happened in 1811, virtually disappeared from the history books.
Absolutely. You know, this is the 200th anniversary, the bicentennial, the largest slave revolt in American history. And up until really this year, it's been obscured and left in the footnotes of history. It's really been wiped from the record books. It's not in the textbooks. It's not taught in schools. And even though, you know, Nat Turner, John Brown, those men are household names, Charles de Lon, Cook, and Quamana, you know, are utterly absent. And I think this really represents the largest moment of political amnesia in our national memory.
Yeah, so this is one aspect of the story that, and we'll give you an opportunity to tell us exactly what happened. But before we do, I'm curious, how did it disappear from the history books? Because to me, that's really fascinating how something this big, the largest uprising of enslaved people of color in America, that it could just vanish from the history books.
Well, it's a deliberate cover-up. The governor of the Orleans Territory, William Claiborne, immediately after the revolt happened, essentially tried to write a story that suggested that the slaves were mere criminals, that the revolt had been insignificant, and that the American military had played a key role in suppressing the revolt. He sent this message back to Washington, where Louisiana was being considered for statehood. They essentially just didn't want the story getting out. Not only that 500 slaves had challenged the very basis of American authority in the Southwest, but that the French planters, these newly acquired American citizens, had beheaded over 100 slaves, put their heads on pikes, and dangled their dismembered corpses from the gates of New Orleans.
We're talking with Daniel Rasmussen. The new book is American Uprising, and we will be giving away a free copy here in just a few minutes. So tell us exactly now that this action, what exactly happened, and how did it get to be the biggest uprising of enslaved people in America?
You know, well, it was a long plot. The slaves had, there were 11 separate leaders distributed throughout the German coast outside of New Orleans. And all throughout the fall of 1810 and then beginning of January 1811, slaves took advantage of Mardi Gras, the Americans' war with the Spanish in Baton Rouge, advantageous political situations to plan and then execute a tremendous revolt. They planned essentially, it was insurrectionary cells up and down the coast that were activated in January. They built sort of a lot of momentum, starting with 25 slaves, building to up to 500, and coming within 15 miles of conquering New Orleans and establishing a black republic on the shores of the Mississippi River.
So what turned them back, or who turned them back?
Well, so that's an interesting story. So they get within 15 miles. They draw the American military force out of New Orleans, and they stop in a plantation. And the Americans find them at 2 a.m., and they attack the plantation only to find the slaves had gone. It was a ruse. And so the slaves' goal really was to draw the American military, which at that point was a mere 68 regular troops that the commodore of the territory called a quote-unquote weak detachment, out of the city and to fight them using guerrilla warfare. That strategy made a lot of sense, except for the fact that there was a planter militia that unwittingly flanked the slave rebels, came from behind upriver, that they did not expect. and caught them in a dramatic battle in the cane fields.
So it was this unexpected act of on the part of militiamen, which is just I guess farmers grabbing their own guns to put down this revolt.
Absolutely. Now these were not just farmers. These were slave planters, men who were used to commanding slave plantations of 40 to 100 slaves, highly military disciplined. They had to be to suppress the slaves. They come armed to the teeth. They catch the slaves marching, wearing military uniform, carrying guns, axes, cane knives, half on horseback, half on feet. The slaves form a line. They form a firing line, which is exactly the right thing to do from military perspectives. They're not intimidated by this army. And there's a huge battle in the cane fields, reminiscent of, the Battle of New Orleans that happens just a few years later against the British.
We're talking with Daniel Rasmussen. The book is American Uprising, and Howard is with us in Charlottesville. Howard, thank you for the call. You're on with Daniel Rasmussen. You go right ahead.
Yes, Mr. Rasmussen, I wonder if you could speak for a minute about the relationship between the research that you did and the Haitian Revolution, which occurred just a few years before that.
Absolutely. This are incredibly politically aware. I think that's one thing we don't realize when we think about slavery, is that these slaves were politically networked, and they were very familiar with the ideology of the Haitian Revolution. The Haitian Revolution, just for those who aren't aware, launched in 1791. Black slaves overthrow the French government of Santo Domingo. They defeat 70% of the army that Napoleon Bonaparte sends against them. They declare independence in 1804, abolish slavery, declare racism illegal, and declare they'll put to death any Frenchman who dirties with his sacrilegious foot the land of liberty. Haiti is the closest place to New Orleans, right? They're the only two French colonies in the New World. Louisiana Purchase follows the Haitian Revolution. Most of the slaves, there was actually a large Haitian influx into New Orleans, but the slaves were certainly very aware of that. And I think their ideology was very clearly a black Republican ideology inspired by Haiti.
And they knew all about this. They were very, very aware of the events in Haiti then.
Oh, absolutely. The not only was there a significant population of Haitian slaves in New Orleans, but, there was a lot of communication among sort of this, what I would think of as a sort of subaltern world that extended from, the black sailors that transported the sugar to the slaves that transported that sugar from the plantations and sold it in the marketplaces to the slaves who led this revolt.
We're talking with Daniel. Yeah, we're talking with Daniel Rasmussen. The new book is American Uprising. It's the story of the untold story of America's largest slave revolt. Daniel, here in Virginia, we're of course very familiar, and we raise kids in grade school learning about John Brown and Nat Turner. But this is a story that's been left out. Is it one of your hopes that this story would get into the curriculum and be added to these the stories that we've often heard growing up about John Brown and Nat Turner?
Absolutely. My goal with this book is to change not only the way that we think about slavery, to see the slaves not as victims, but as contributors to American history, and indeed as heroes whose actions stand as a testament to the best ideals of this country, but also to ensure that this revolt is taught in every school, and that you can't graduate from high school or college without hearing the names Charles Delon, Koop, and Kwamana. I'm becoming familiar with that story.
Daniel Rasmussen, the new book is American Uprising. Dan, thanks so much for being with us. It's just a terrific book.
Thank you. Thanks very much.
You've been listening to Charlottesville Right Now with Coy Barefoot. Charlottesville Right Now is broadcast live Monday through Friday on News Radio 1070 WINA from 4 to 6 p.m. Best-selling author and historian Coy Barefoot is the host and producer. To interact with Coy and his guests, you can call 434-977-1070. Coy can be reached at barefoot@wina.com. This audio download has been made possible by the Charlottesville Podcasting Network. Visit seavillepodcast.com for more.